right, so Golden Week is over, but that means now I have to reorganize my schedule and just try to get everything back on track. So we had a really busy time at work, and then family came over Golden Week, and now things maybe have finally settled down to the way they're supposed to be. But here we are in Japan with the news for you. Excellent. Riri-chan, she just does not go away. She's in the news constantly because she thought, oh, she'd been sentenced to prison. She's going to go to prison. Of course, she did the smartest thing she could do. She appealed. She's like, I don't want to go to prison. Let's appeal the sentence. I didn't like the way they talked about the fraud. So the way the fraud was mentioned in the article was she induced affection from three men. So she committed fraud by getting three men to fall in love with her. I actually had a conversation with this about my student. I had a conversation about this with my students. And I found it very interesting that they were all very dismissive of the men. They were all like, all these guys, they should have known better. They should not have fallen in love with her. They should have known what they were getting into. And I was like, I don't think you understand. Like, she's picking. She probably, like, you know, did mass messages to hook the lonely men. And those lonely men are suddenly convinced that this is their dream girl and that they're in love with her and she's in love with them and it's all going to work out. And I have a lot of sympathy for the men because she was choosing older men who basically now probably have less opportunities for relationships. And then this really young, fairly attractive girl comes in. She falls in love with them. She's saying all the things they want to hear. I mean, this was her guide. Her guide was on the things you need to say to keep them hooked, to give you money. I read some excerpts from it in an old episode. It was very interesting because she was right. She was like, you don't just immediately ask for money. That's suspicious. You have to like defer and say like, oh, I've got big problems. And then they go, oh, what's the problem? You go, oh no, I don't want to burden you with it. And then you're trying to defer and defer and defer until they force you to tell them. And then you go, I owe money, or my friend owes money, or money needs to be owed and I need money. And then they go, I'll offer to you. You go, no, I don't want to take it from you. But then they're more generous because they're like, here's my opportunity to show this person how much I love them and support them and help them. And the thing is, she's playing on that idea of if she refuses again and again and again, it doesn't feel like a scam anymore because they're trying to force her to take the money. Anyways, that was in her book that she sold online, which is actually what got her in trouble in the end. I didn't know this part. She was also, as part of her case, she had failed to declare 40 million yen in income. And again, the average salary in Japan is 4 to 5 million yen. So she's talking like 10 years of an average salary. She had not declared an income. I assume that was in 1 year. God, man, and this is it. It's the fiscal. I get on this bit every time because I'm like, she had so much money available to her. They're not actually going to make her give it back. Or are they? I'm not sure. That's the thing. She could have hidden a lot of that money. And once she got out of prison, actually been okay or set up a new life or something. And she didn't do it. She filed her appeal on May 1st. Today is May 7th. This is when the story came out. She's finding ways to keep herself in the news, which at least is interesting because I don't know why Riri-chan, I think the level of her scam, her ability, and the fact that she worked really hard and then came to this point where she got caught in the whole collapse, like that rise and fall is the bit I'm finding most interesting. So I really want to see, where does she end up? Does she end up going to prison? How much time does she do? What's the punishment? How far does it go? And then I actually want to know what happens when she gets out. Like, does she rebuild her life, or does prison make her like more of a scammer? Because, you know, there is the idea that prison is supposed to rehabilitate people, but I think we all know the reality that it doesn't really do that in most cases. So where is she going to end up after this case? That is the bit I'm most interested in. I'm unfortunately going to have to wait a decade to find out. Biden gave a speech, and in that speech, he said Japan, China, Russia, and India are xenophobic countries. And Japan was like, what? Well, why are you picking on me? Why are you you're lumping me in with these other guys, China and Russia? They're the bad guys. India, it's a bit neutral. It can flip-flop back and forth on India. Like, we work with them, sometimes we don't. But China and Russia, you know, don't do that. And so they were very upset. And Biden's reasoning was, Japan, China, Russia, and India don't want immigrants, which is true. Like, I actually don't know as much about China and Russia and India. India, I don't think, wants immigrants because they've got 1 billion people already. Maybe that's enough people. China, similar situation. Also, I would say xenophobic for political reasons. Russia has its own issues. I don't claim to know anything about those countries in any real way, but Japan, I have lived here for a long time. I claim to know something about the country, and I would say xenophobia is still a fairly accurate thing. They don't want a lot of foreigners coming in and changing Japan as a country. The Japanese embassy protested, but also they didn't change their policy. They still don't want immigrants. So this is maybe the bit that I find most interesting is Biden has essentially said something that's true. And then Japan's been like, well, that doesn't make us look good. You shouldn't say that. And then you should apologize. But then it's still true. What Biden was actually talking about was how immigrants to America actually helped fuel the economic growth of the country. So immigration is a good thing and we should promote immigration and people should immigrate to countries and build those countries up. Japan, billion times now we've said, suffering a population decline. You know, I think some immigration would actually do the country a bit of good. They are still resistant. And apparently that's not xenophobia. That's something else completely, which has maybe a completely different name that I don't know. I don't know what else you would call it. 24-year-old attacked his 57-year-old father with a wooden sword. And this is, we go through these trends. I said in the last episode, we do go through trends in news. And so we had a trend of crossbows. And then those crossbows were actually made illegal in Japan. Weirdly, near my train station, I actually found a poster that looked quite old giving information about crossbows. I guess how you're not supposed to have them. That's interesting. I'll throw that up on the Instagram after this episode. If this happens a few more times, they're actually going to be like, have wooden sword rules go into place. They're going to have like wooden sword ownership laws put in, because that's what Japan does. Like guns are illegal. And then they're like bows and arrows are illegal. Swords are illegal. Crossbows, people started using those. Crossbows are now illegal. So wooden swords, man, if you go ape on those, I bet they make wooden swords illegal. It's not legal to carry a knife with you unless you can explain why you're carrying that knife from point A to point B. So this is a classic. I've actually talked about this a bunch of times, but it's just something people know. You wouldn't actually be allowed to carry a Swiss Army knife. When I was back in Canada, I used to carry a Swiss Army knife with me all the time, just in my bag or something. It has a screwdriver, other stuff, fairly useful randomly throughout the day. If I was stopped by the police and they said, why do you have the Swiss Army knife? And I couldn't give them a reason, a specific reason, then that is illegal for me to carry. So if I was carrying a fish gutting knife and I was going fishing, that would be legal. If I had a fish gutting knife and I was going to work, that would be illegal. So there's a certain level of interpretation that comes with the rules in Japan, which is a very interesting thing, but also very important to know who's interpreting those rules. The guy who might be very angry at you at the moment, who is a police officer. His father was sitting in a chair and he just started beating them. He was arrested. They are still looking into the reason why, but the only reason this story caught my attention is when he was being arrested, he said, perhaps I went a little too far. And I think, yeah, once you pick up a wooden sword and start hitting another human being with it, I think maybe, yeah, you went a little too far. There was a guy who owns an izakaya, and izakaya owners, it's a bar, it's food, and often they're very small and very local. It's a very authentic Japanese experience. Foreigners really enjoy going to izakayas. They, of course, do have trouble with English because not every Japanese person speaks English. The reason a lot of people like me have jobs is because we come to Japan and teach English. And the reason we teach English is because the education system in Japan is so poor at teaching English. So really the whole reason I am able to live in Japan is because the Japanese education system has failed so miserably at teaching English. This bar owner went and had some trouble. He had a white couple, is what he said, come in and they asked for an English menu. And he said, no, we don't have one of those. Basically, he said it was really troublesome to have this foreign couple in his bar. He went online. He decided to complain online, which is always the best idea. I mean, if you're going to complain, you really want to go on the internet and complain, because that's going to just make everything better. He said, I'd learn English if I came to an English-speaking country, which I bet is not true. I bet if he went to either that or he's actually just saying, I would not travel. This is Japan. If I went to an English-speaking country, I'd speak English. Make the effort to speak Japanese in Japan. If that's a hassle, bring an interpreter. It's one of those things where he's not wrong, but he's also not right. Because if you're running a bar, your bar runs on customer service. You should be trying to accommodate as many customers as possible. This is a case where if you had someone with a fairly good smartphone or a laptop or something, you could actually just have them speak into it and it could do the auto-translate. So I think we've now hit a level of technology where you're not having deep political conversations with customers. It's like, hey, what do you want to drink? Hey, have you enjoyed your stay in Japan? How is things? How are things? Do you want anything else? Stuff like that. These are not really hard phrases for someone to learn. So he went on, which of course, because he goes on, you know, again, very good idea. Indigenous Japanese might not know this, but if you go to another country, speaking that country's language is taken for granted. Like back in the day in Barcelona, you couldn't not only get away with English, you couldn't speak Spanish either. Everyone spoke Catalan. Can stupid Japanese people finally stop with this we lost the war mentality? Now that is giving me a lot of insight into this gentleman's politics. When he uses the we lost the war mentality, because it's something that right wingers say that, you know, we should stop sort of kowtowing to other countries and bending our back because, yes, we lost the war, but we lost the war was so long ago. We should still be proud of ourselves and live up and, you know, be proud of being Japanese, that kind of stuff. This had some trouble. He ended up closing his restaurant for a short period of time. The thread's top post generated over 65,000 likes and 10,000 retweets. So that is showing you that there is a large segment of Japan that is on board with this kind of attitude. Or the retweets could just be sharing, but the 65,000 likes, I think that's actually clear. They're saying they actually like this as a concept. This doesn't seem like something worth fighting over, question mark. I've been rescued myself going overseas and finding an English menu available. You don't have to know English, but currently This doesn't seem like something worth fighting over. It's a question mark is actually putting it hard for me to say. This doesn't seem like something worth fighting over. That's a statement, not a question. I've been rescued myself going overseas to find an English menu available. You don't have to know English, but currently it's spreading as the world's lingua franca. And knowing it brings big benefits for both companies and individuals. So they're saying that, yes, while you don't have to learn English, it's kind of like what I'm saying, making small accommodations in English will actually help your business. Another poster concurred saying it's mean-spirited to reply the way the shopkeeper did. 10 years ago, when I asked foreigners what they thought of Japanese people, they'd uniformly say they're pretty gentle. I'd probably mean kind. But now I'm hearing some say they're so cold. I guess the overcapacity of tourists. The overcapacity of tourists is a very recent phenomenon, though. So that's really just a post-COVID phenomenon. So that is one why I question the veracity of that statement, only because this clearly has to be a trend over time for people to be changing their opinions, not just a very recent thing. Although they could just be talking to very recent tourists. On the 21st, so the last month, they were temporarily closing the store due to mental and physical stress from the controversy. But of course, they did not back down from their stance. In their closure message, they said, I don't know when we're opening again, but it'll be a bar that doesn't depend on the oh-so-precious white personages who can't read Japanese. So this guy's decided to take a stand, and that stand is, I don't want foreigners in my bar. It goes on. This is a very good article. This is from Unseen Japan, which is a very good website. So if you are interested in Japanese stuff, Unseen Japan by Jay Allen. He actually goes on. He does the article, which I read most of it to you just now. Then he goes on to go further with, are tourists driving out the regulars? Walk-ins are challenge. Strategies for handling the influx. And then it gives you some other stuff to read. It's a very good website. I would highly recommend it. If you have the time, you could subscribe there and enjoy some Unseen Japan, because they do have very similar feeling news to what we do here at Ninja News Japan. Lawyers. Everyone knows lawyers as very lovable, fun-loving people. But the Bar Association thinks that, you know what, people don't think people love lawyers as much as they could. So let's do something about that. So they decided to make some cute mascots and logos to offset the image that lawyers are strict and unapproachable. If I wanted a lawyer, I would want my lawyer to be fairly strict and fairly unapproachable, because I would want him to be that way in the courtroom. They've created a character called Ben Tora. Tora is tiger, and Ben is the kanji in Bengoshi, which is lawyer. So on the top of his forehead is a kanji. It's sort of built into the stripes. It's actually very subtle. It's quite good. So it's a cute tiger character who is supposed to soften the image of lawyers. Tigers, famously cute and approachable animals that everyone would think of the first thing. If you say cute and approachable, everyone goes, oh yeah, you know, tigers. It is a very cute looking tiger. 500 designs were submitted from the public and other organizations. So basically, this is one actually... this kind of put me off the lawyer. Because companies do this. They do like an open call for designs, but and they pick one. But what they're actually getting is free samples, and they can pick the sample they like best and reward that one. But those other people have still done the work, and those other people don't get paid. There was another character in the article, which is a big purple dog with weird leaves on its head and the symbol for lawyers on it, which I did not understand at all. So there were some pretty like out there design choices. I think the tiger was the best one, probably of the ones I saw, but I only saw a few. And of the ones I saw, I don't see how this is actually going to, like, if you have a very strict, serious looking lawyer, having this mascot in the same vicinity as him is not going to make him seem more cuddly and friendly, I think. I don't know. Or maybe it'll just make it like we can talk to lawyers and they can hold a plushie of the tiger next to them and be like, you know, don't talk to me. Talk to, what was his name? Ben Tora. Talk to Ben Tora and tell him your issues, and then I will go to court and fight on your behalf. Kyoto District Legal Affairs Bureau staff. Another very strict sounding group of people. So we got a group of lawyers and then these guys who are the District Legal Affairs Bureau for the city of Kyoto. So they're going to be pretty serious stuff. There was a manager in his 50s and he grabbed one of his subordinates in his 20s by the chest. I don't know what that means. By the chest, I would assume the lapels of his jacket if he was wearing a suit jacket, but maybe he grabbed his shirt. But grab him by the chest actually means like it sounds like he grabbed two giant handfuls of peck. Don't know if that's the sound that pecs make when you grab them. So he grabbed those. Actually, there's no way it would have been that powerful. We know this from the rest of the sentence. And then he started kicking him around the waist, which is a very awkward way to do it. It's like, so Thai boxing, they grab the back of your head and they kind of like knee you in the stomach. This guy grabs your chest, your pecs. Again, I think it must have been the lapels of a jacket. And then he starts like kicking you in the waist. So he's not getting a lot of like leverage to kick him very hard, which is a good thing because I don't actually want people to get hurt. But I'm also on the like, if you're going to bother to hurt someone, you might as well follow through and do it right. The reason he was grabbing this man and doing very awkward kicks to his stomach was that the man was discussing spoilers from a recent manga called Oshinoko. I don't read a lot of manga, so I don't actually know if this is good, but apparently it's a very plot-heavy story, so the spoilers would be very important to the kind of people who actually read this comic. The manager has been transferred, and the subordinate reported no injuries, but he did report it to the police. There have been no charges yet. When the supervisor was being spoken to, he said, "I don't like spoilers." Now, I personally don't care about spoilers, but I know other people do. So I try not to give too many spoilers. But the reason I don't care about spoilers is because I found out there was a scientific study that found that spoilers don't actually ruin the value of entertainment of different things, which is very interesting. Because they found what happens when there is information that you know, your brain can then process the information of the story as it unfolds faster, and you actually can, at times, get more enjoyment out of it. So let's say a very complicated story. Having spoilers in the back of your head actually simplifies the story and means you can follow along more efficiently. Now, that isn't a reason to actually start spoiling things for people. Again, like, I don't think spoilers are a big deal, but other people do, and I don't want to ruin their pleasure. I think maybe the internet has grown spoilers into something that it didn't used to be. So that is fair. Don't spoil for things for people who don't want it spoiled for them. But if you are one of the spoilee in this case, don't grab people by the pecs and start awkwardly kneeing them in the stomach, because that's not any better.